My name is Ignacio Hernandez from Westside Baptist Church and Academy, and today I'll be preaching an evangelistic message entitled, A Response at Calvary. But before we begin, let's start off with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for us all gathered here together, Lord. I pray that you just help me as I preach today, Lord. I pray that you just help to calm my spirits, Lord. And I pray that your word be preached clearly, Lord. And I pray that you just let everything be done for your honor and glory, Lord. And I praise in Jesus' name. Amen. In our society around us, there is many people needing help, but there's not many seeking to find that help. There are those individuals that are too hardened and too prideful to allow others to help them. On the other hand, you have those receptive that are willing to see their own personal condition and allow others to help them. It is very hard to help those that do not wish to be helped. And likewise, God will hear the cry of the seeking sinner. In Luke 23, verse 39 to 43, if you will turn there with me, we will see two sinners, both needing help, but responding to God's grace completely differently. And in verse 39, we first begin with the comment of the hardened sinner. Verse 39 says, and one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. The first comment that this thief has is a comment of railing. The dictionary describes railing as a mocking or ridiculing of someone or something. In this case, here we have this thief, which the Bible describes as a malefactor, meaning that he had done something completely wrong to be on that cross, and yet here he was, mocking and ridiculing the Lord. But his mocking did not stop there, for then he proceeded to have a comment of doubt. In the last part, verse 39, it says, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. In his doubt, first, he had a doubt on who Christ was. The Bible describes Christ as being God's Son, sent from heaven to earth to die for your sin and mine. And the second thing that this thief doubted was what Christ could have done. Christ could have called for hundreds and thousands of angels to fill the air and to save him from that cross, and could have easily saved himself and those two thieves alongside him. But he chose to die for you and me. I have gone many times to visit people with my church in order to invite them to church or simply preach the gospel to them. And it's amazing to see the different responses at the name of Jesus Christ. There are those that brush you away. There's those that close the door on you. There's even those that mock and ridicule what Christ did and who God is. But one certain individual that really stood out for me was this middle-aged woman that when I approached her with the gospel, she stopped me and said, I have done all my research and have concluded there is no God. After leaving the house, my heart felt heavy for this individual because it was hard to imagine that an individual so early in their life could choose to reject the Lord, not knowing the consequences that will fall thereafter. And maybe you're here, sinner, and are choosing to reject the Lord, and are choosing not to have anything to do with him. Well, Jesus himself says in John 12:48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Sinner, if you are here and are choosing to reject God's word and are choosing to not receive him, there is one that will judge you, and that is God himself, for everything you have heard and chosen to reject. Most likely, this thief had heard countless stories of what Christ had done and everything Christ had preached, and yet here he was, railing and doubting the Lord. But the story does not stop here, for there is another thief on the other side of Christ who had a different view and approach to Christ. And with him, we see the cry of the seeking sinner. In verse 40, it says, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man had done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. The first cry that this thief had was a cry of realization. For first, he realized who Christ was. For he turned to the other thief and rebuked him, saying, "Dost now thou fear God?" He understood that Christ was God's son. But not only that, he also realized his own state of being. He realized that he himself was a sinner. For when rebuking the other thief, he said, "We justly receive the due reward of our deeds." He understood that he himself was a sinner and that his sin should have righteously been punished that very day on that cross. Yet he chose to place his trust in God. For when realizing his own state of being, he looked to Christ and then proceeded to have a request. For in the last part of verse 42, it says, "And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And with his request, he had a request of salvation, for he knew that he had a condemnation. The dictionary describes condemnation as severe punishment and even death. And he knew that not only was he going to have a physical death, but he was also going to have a spiritual death. And sinner, if you are here today and are choosing to reject the Lord, not only will you have a physical death, but you will also have a spiritual death. And this is what this sinner concluded, that not only was he going to die here on earth, but he was also going to die and go to hell into the lake of fire. And with his request, we see that he trusted the Lord to take upon him his own sin. Imagine with me, a child in an academy gets in trouble. How hard would it be for that authority to help this child if this child cannot seem to understand that what he has done is wrong? But how much easier would it be for that authority to help this child if this child simply acknowledges that what he has done is wrong and seeks forgiveness from that authority? Christ is no different. Christ will forgive you if you simply acknowledge that what you have done is wrong and seek forgiveness. And he will cleanse your heart and wash away all your sin and will accept you into his family. God's grace was offered to both individuals. All it depended on was their receptiveness to actually receive that gift. And with this, we see the response of a compassionate Savior. In the last part of verse 43, it says, "And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." His first response was a response of grace. God's grace was not only offered to one thief, but it was offered to both of them equally. One of them did not have more favor than the other one. The same God that saved then still saves now. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." In that verse, we see that God's grace was offered to everyone freely and equally. And if we just simply believe in him, the Lord says that he will accept us into his family. In John 1:12, it says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And sinner, that is all it takes. All it takes is for you to place your complete trust in the Lord, that he is able to save you from your sin, and he will accept you into his family. For God's grace is offered to everyone, like we heard in John 3:16. And then later, the Lord proceeded to have a response of assurance. For in the last part of verse 43, it says, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Christ did not wait a day or an hour or a week to pass by. In that very instant, he looked at that thief and said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And he put that stamp of approval. And sinner, that's all it takes. If you simply acknowledge that you yourself are a sinner and place your trust in him, Christ will accept you in that very instant and will accept you into his family. The Lord was able to help the thief that was able to see his own personal need of help and was actually able to reach out for that gift and accept it. This is similar to the story of Laura Montero. Several years ago, there was a girl by the name of Laura Montero. When she and her family were in a cruise ship off in the Baja coast, her appendix burst. Being so far off the coast, the ship sent distress signals all afar. The nearest ship was a military ship, 500 miles away. When the ship heard the distress signals, they rushed 250 miles, where they can then deploy a helicopter to reach Laura. When the helicopter got there, they were able to perform the life-saving appendectomy. Now, when they did this, the debt was so great, the whole surgery cost and the whole traveling cost was so great that this family could not imagine to pay this whole complete debt. But the government looked upon them and said, "Don't worry, we have it covered. We'll pay for the whole cost." How foolish would it have been for this family to reject that gift, thinking that the government would not be able to help them or simply wouldn't fall through with their promise. But sinner, how much more foolish would it be for you not to accept God's free gift of salvation for the debt of your sin? Will you be like that first thief who chose to reject the Lord and have nothing to do with him? Or will you be like that second thief who saw his own personal need of a Savior and asked Jesus to come into his heart? God's grace is offered freely to everyone. All it depends on is your willingness to seek and to receive God's gift.